Jude tells us about Korah, and Korah didn't want Moses to be in authority any longer. At least 250 others agreed with him. In the end, they all died because they were opposed to God, not simply Moses. You're listening to Study, Grow, Know, and I'm Dr. Fred. Thanks for joining me today.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
We are back with another episode of Study, Grow, Know. I'm Dr. Fred, and thanks for joining me as we continue our study in Jude. Last time we left off with dealing with Korah. Moses had gone up against Korah. Korah lost, and a whole bunch of other people did, too. Korah thought that his coup against Moses and Aaron would impress the people, and I'm sure he thought that he would become their new leader, or that he would be successful in knocking Moses off his pedestal so that the Israelites would be able to live the way they wanted to live. I'd be willing to bet that these, quote, men of renown that Jude refers to were ready to take Moses' place in an instant. Now, Korah did not want Moses to be in authority any longer, and obviously at least 250 others agreed, and in the end, they all died because they were opposed to God, not simply Moses, and that's an important point to consider. This is the problem with pride. It may appear to be intelligent, meaningful at first, even well-founded, but when it's unmasked and shown for what it is clearly seen that pride attacks God. At every turn, it is the worst of sins because it is the root of almost all of them. Those who are filled with pride will do whatever it takes to puff themselves up further in their attempts to reduce God to nothing. Satan was the very first to try this, and he fell as a result. Adam and Eve were convinced by Satan that they could get out from under God's rule by eating the forbidden fruit, and they would become like God. Once they ate the fruit, their eyes would be open. They would be gods. Well, they obeyed Satan and fell just as he had done. They didn't become gods. They became fallen human beings, and we follow in their tracks. It is for this reason the scriptures say, quote, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before stumbling, unquote. Now that's Proverbs 16:18. Solomon should know, from pride nothing good springs forth. It always destroys, and this is the reason enough why God hates it. It destroys. The apostate often truly believes that his actions, his teaching, his demeanor are in line with what God wants, but rarely, if ever, is this the case. And of course, his view of God is certainly skewed, to say the least. Normally, the apostate stands opposed to God, and while some may not realize it, too many apostates know exactly what they're doing. It's all planned. They're doing what they're doing because they want to succeed. They want to gain superiority over other human beings. Well, after providing these three examples of what apostates are like, Cain, Balaam, and Korah, Jude likens them to hidden reefs. Now, this is a very interesting illustration. How apropos is that? Anyone who has a boat or who has gone swimming in the ocean near coral reefs knows how much damage these reefs can cause. But they're also very beautiful to look at. That's the deceiving part. They're covered with coral of all sorts of colors, and the way they reflect the light is just absolutely fascinating. The design of a coral reef is also very intriguing. It's almost beguiling. Because of this, the inherent danger of a coral reef is often missed. It's often hidden. The cut sustained from a piece of coral is akin to being cut with glass. It is not uncommon for a reef to gouge or rip open the hull of a small boat or severely cut a swimmer who was unaware of the reef's presence and accidentally dives onto it. I mean, that's the interesting thing about coral. It looks beautiful on the outside, but there is often this attraction to us because of it, but it's really dangerous. Apostates are often very, very charming people who have an air of intelligence, depth, and they seem to be genuinely interested in people. All too often, though, people are absolutely and completely unaware of the danger until they get totally sucked in and wind up under the apostate's control, and then it's too late. And the reason they get sucked in and wind up under the apostate's control is, again, because they do not study God's word on their own. They don't open the Bible except on Sundays, possibly. Think of Jim Jones and some others. Father Divine. Some of you may have heard of him. He was a pastor, a reverend in New York City, I believe it was, a number of years ago, a number of decades ago. He had quite a following and a number of wives. How about David Koresh? Any number of individuals like them that come to mind. Initially, these people were charismatic, acting like magnets to other people. You wanted to be around them because they were fun, exciting, inviting, or embracing. You felt loved. You felt appreciated. You felt as if that person was supremely interested in you and you alone. That's how they make people feel. That's how people get sucked in, because of the sense of excitement and belonging. It didn't matter that some of what was heard when they preached was not quite right and red flags went off. What mattered is how they made you feel. Apostates capitalize on this feeling that people have about themselves. They know that most people are insecure to some extent. So if they can find that insecurity and then use it to draw that person close to them, the apostate knows that he will be able to pull them in and they will be his. You know who's going to do that the best? No one in history will even come close to being able to replicate what the future Antichrist is going to do. He will be charismatic. He will be powerful. He will probably be very attractive. And people will just come to him in droves. Not to mention he's going to wow the world with signs and wonders. You know, it's no wonder that Jude, though he states he initially felt compelled to write about salvation, felt it even more important to stress the character of the apostate and the way the apostate worms his way into the congregation first, and then into the hearts of the people next. As attractive and as inviting as the apostate may be on the outside, and what he says, he is like a hidden reef with nothing but danger and disaster waiting for those who bring their boats too close. Once they get to that point, though, it's often too late in most cases, and history has given us that lesson repeatedly. Well, the apostate fits right in with the local congregation to such an extent that they sidle up to folks. They just come right next to them during their love feasts. And love feasts in the New Testament times, it was usually a dinner served just before the Lord's Supper. They blend in easily, and most are not aware that they're there with ulterior motives and are partaking of not only the love feast, but also the Lord's Supper, which makes it very, very interesting. The apostate doesn't care that he is partaking in judgment because his heart is not in the right place when he bows his head, remembering the painful death of our Lord and Savior. Chances are good that this person is not even in relationship with the Lord. This doesn't matter, though, to them, because like the priests in Ezekiel who worshipped idols in secret so that the Israelites themselves were not aware of it, but of course God was, the apostate keeps up the facade of being a true servant of God, all the while serving only himself. And that is an important point to grasp. People like this, people like the apostate, tend to believe that their secret agenda is safe from all eyes, and they don't care about what God is able to see or not. Jude carries his description of apostates onward, wanting to ensure that his readers get the point. This is something he is hammering home, folks. He wants them to know, he wants his readers to know that in no uncertain terms how despicable the apostates' actions are as they mingle with the congregation as if they are themselves in relationship with Jesus. Jude calls them clouds without water, carried along by the winds. I used to live in upstate New York, and it's a beautiful area. And again, this isn't the city. This is upstate New York in the country area, the rural area. It's normally green throughout the year, except, of course, in winter because of the humidity and the rainfall. That's what keeps it green. Without the rain, things would look brown like they do in California during the summer. Now, apostates are not like clouds that bring refreshing, life-giving water. They may look like clouds, and clouds are often very beautiful. But they have nothing within them that benefits anyone else. It is, of course, even worse when these apostates become leaders in a local church. They often gain these positions because of their charm, their good-natured personality, or their overall charisma and self-assurance. Notice that they don't gain their position because they know Scripture and because they are a dedicated servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. They gain their position based on how they look, how they present themselves, their charm, their personality. That's wrong. Once they begin teaching, their overall appearance and demeanor may promise rain. It may, spiritually. They often bring nothing. I can think of a number of people who have done great harm in the name of Jesus because of what they preach. Yet these individuals have very large followings because of their charisma, their charm. They normally have large personalities, making it difficult for the average person to disagree with them. On days when the humidity was high in New York, you always looked for a coming storm because you knew that the rain would reduce the humidity. It was like letting the air out of a balloon. It normally always felt pretty good. The clouds that passed overhead and released no water did nothing to relieve the humidity. And in fact, sometimes the humidity seemed to increase because of the additional pressure system that clouds can help create. Rain was needed, and clouds that passed overhead and did not have water to release were simply pretty to look at. And that was it. Jude's next bit of imagery has to do with trees. He describes apostates as, quote, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted, unquote. The other day, my wife brought home fruit from a farmer's market near her work. One of my favorite fruits is the peach. I love good-tasting peaches. My wife likes them crunchy. I like them ripe and soft. To me, they are far tastier when they're just overly ripe. That's when they're sweet. They also smell wonderful. I love good fruit, whether it's a peach or an orange or an apple. If it's good and ripe, then I'll know I'll enjoy it. Well, we have an orange tree in our backyard, and it's been there ever since we planted it shortly after we moved into the house 12 years ago. Even though the tree looks healthy with wonderfully beautiful green leaves and new growth every year, it has not produced a single orange in all that time, 12 years. It only looks good, but produces nothing that you can eat. It even tried this past year, by the way. It was very fascinating. It started to produce an orange that got to about the size of a marble. And then it was gone. I went out the next morning, poof, it's gone. We've thought many times about uprooting it and getting rid of it, since it's as a fruit tree, it's not doing its intended job. It's not even big enough to be a shade tree. This is the apostate. While he may appear to be something of quality on the outside, the fact is that he produces no real fruit, and that's the key indicator that something is wrong. Well, we could probably look at just about anybody in church in America and find people who do not produce fruit. Some of these people are clearly very needy, and it's obvious that they attend church to have their own needs met and are not at all interested in giving back by using the gifts God gave them to help edify the congregation, if they are authentic Christians, by the way. It may also be that at least some of these people are not authentic Christians and are simply there for their own reasons. They may either believe that they are indeed true believers, or they know they're not. In the case of the latter, they are likely there then for no good purpose. Jude knows that it's difficult to identify the type of person he's referring to, so he provides many examples, as we've shown, and pictures to help leaders narrow down the process. Clouds without rain, trees without fruit are two ways to help people recognize those. Well, Jude's not done yet, though, and neither are we. We're going to come back with more of what Jude tells us about these apostates. It's really a big section here in Jude. But until we meet again, I pray that the Lord God will bless you richly, that you will come to know him better, that you will serve him and dedicate your life to him, and don't forget to read his word. It's his message to you. Hi, I'm Dr. Fred DeRubo of StudyGrowKnow.com. We're living in strange times, very likely what the Bible calls the end times, just prior to the last period of human history known as the tribulation. Well, at StudyGrowKnow.com, I present broadcasts each week designed to help you grow through knowledge of God's Word. Besides my broadcasts, I've written numerous books about the modern state of Israel as it relates to God's Word, commentaries for the layperson on Revelation and the Olivet Discourse, and many other books on a variety of topics, including prophetic issues. Whether it's the rapture or political issues like Islam, prophecy in general, or the end times specifically, I offer a conservative biblical perspective on these and other subjects. I hope you'll join me at StudyGrowKnow.com each week as I discuss issues that are important to you. For all our broadcasts and resources, go to StudyGrowKnow.com. That's StudyGrowKnow.com.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.